We spent the past month or so talking about the Christmas story and the different characters in it. We've learned lots of different lessons and drawn conclusions from each of them. We've talked about the shepherds and Joseph and Mary, the angels, baby Jesus himself, and even King Herod. But today we turn to the mysterious characters, the wise men or the magi. Now, we don't actually know very much about the Magi, about the wise men. And even what we think we know, we don't know. We sing this hymn, "We Three Kings," right? Well, we don't know that there were three of them. We know there were three gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, but nowhere does it mention how many wise men there were. The word is plural, so there were at least two, but it could have been three. Could have been 50. I mean, we don't know. But we know there were three gifts. And we don't know that they were kings either. That's part of the song, but nowhere in the story is royalty mentioned in any kind of way other than King Herod. And so we don't know that there are three of them, and we don't know that they're kings, even though that's what we sing every year when we remember them. A few things that we do know. The word that is used, the Greek word, is magoi. And that word is used a few other times in the Bible. And it's usually referring to magicians or sorcerers, sages. In the book of Acts, in chapter 13, Paul encounters a magician and has an interaction with him. And that's the word that's used there, magoi. In the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Old Testament, basically the Bible that Jesus and his contemporaries would have used. In the book of Daniel, there are members of the court of King Nebuchadnezzar who interpret dreams, and that's the word that's used there as well, magoi. Magi is used for them. So sorcerers, magicians, people who interpret dreams, astronomers, all these kinds of things could be what the word refers to. In ancient Persia, there was a specific group of religious folks who were sometimes called magi, magoi. They were part of the Zoroastrian religion, if you know anything about it. So perhaps these are people who follow that religion who've come. We know that they came from the east, which is why Ewan volunteered to light the candle this morning, because he is a wise man from the east. So we were glad to have him write our liturgy for that and light the candle this morning. But we don't know where in the east that they came from. It could be Persia. That would make sense with the Zoroastrian connection. Could be as far as India or China or somewhere else. Or they may have come from different places and all traveled together. We know that they saw a star and they followed it to make their way to Bethlehem. So perhaps they were astronomers or astrologers watching the heavens. We know that they brought gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So perhaps they were wealthy, but we don't know that for sure. In our hymn that we sang, "We Three Kings," we associate those three gifts with three different aspects of who Jesus is. Gold we associate with royalty, so the kingship of Christ. Frankincense we associate with divinity. That it was an incense that was used in worship, and so Jesus as the Son of God. And then myrrh is an embalming spice. And so we associate Jesus' suffering and death with that particular gift. And we know that the wise men, we know that they came from the east. And there's one other thing I wanted to lift up. Oh, they went home by a different way because of a dream. Because of a dream that they had. So let's think about this story from their perspective. These wise men, whoever they were, perhaps astronomers, they looked up in the stars. Perhaps they'd been studying the stars all of their life, looking for a sign that something new, something amazing was happening in the world. That was a common thought in those days, was that the gods controlled the heavens and that stars would give signs about things that were happening in the world, important and significant things. And so perhaps these wise men were gazing up at the stars for years and years, studying and learning all about the patterns and all about what they might mean. And one day, something different happens in the heavens. This new star appears, something unlike anything they had seen before. And for whatever reason, they know that it is significant. They know that it means that something huge and momentous has happened here on earth. All their learning, all their knowledge, all the superstition around it tells them that a new king has been born. In particular, the king of the Jews. Now, new kings are born not every day, but that's not an uncommon occurrence. There were lots of different kingdoms in the world, and new kings would have been born all the time, but there was something different about this star, something that led them to pack up what they had and to go on this journey. If they were traveling from Persia, it would have been about 1,000 miles that they journeyed. If they were farther east, it would have been even longer. Could have taken weeks, months, maybe even years for them to travel from where they were to this place. They travel to Jerusalem, which of course is the capital city, and they go to the king who is there, assuming that he knows what's going on. If a new king of the Jews has been born, well, then the current king of the Jews would know about it. In fact, it's probably his son. That makes a lot of logical sense, right? And so they go to the king, they go to Herod, and they say, "Where is this king of the Jews who has been born?" But Herod has no idea what they're talking about. And so Herod calls in some of his court, and he has them research, and they find from Scripture that the Messiah was to be born in Bethlehem, just a few miles away from Jerusalem. And so Herod sends these wise men who'd been on this great journey after seeing the star to Bethlehem to see if they can find this child who's been born. Now Herod, of course, has different plans. He wants them to find this child so that he can eliminate this child, eliminate any threat to his rule. But the wise men, they want to go so that they can see the result of this magnificent thing they've seen in the sky. They can see this child who's been born, because they know great and wonderful and amazing things will come from him. And so they travel to Bethlehem, just a few short miles from Jerusalem. And Scripture tells us that the star stops and rests over the place where young Jesus is. The heavens point to this place. And they go inside and they rejoice. They are filled with joy and excitement. They worship this young child. They lay down their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And then, because of a dream, they go home a different way. They avoid Jerusalem, they avoid King Herod, and they save Jesus' life by doing so. It's an amazing story, isn't it? One that sometimes is hard to believe and to wrap our heads around. But it makes me ask the question, how is God at work in the world? How does God work in our world? And the story gives us lots of different answers to that. The first is that God is at work in nature itself. In the very creation that God has made, God is at work. These wise men see a star. They see something up in the sky. And we don't know exactly what it is. Many people have looked back at astronomical records and tried to figure out exactly what happened up in the heavens to lead these wise men to go. Halley's Comet. How many of you remember seeing Halley's Comet back, I think it was in the 80s? Yeah, I was a young kid. So some of you may have seen it. Some of you may have been alive for the previous time. I don't know. But, you know, every, I think it's 70-some years, Halley's Comet comes around. Well, that came in 12 B.C., so some have theorized that maybe that's what it was. Maybe Halley's Comet led the wise men there. There was another alignment of some planets in 7 B.C., and so some have theorized that maybe that was, I think it's like Jupiter and Mars and the dawning of Aquarius and all that kind of stuff happened in 7 B.C. So some people think, you know, maybe that's what the wise men saw. But there's actually records in China and Korea of a nova, a new star, a bright star that had never appeared before, bursting onto the scene about 5 B.C. During the reign of King Herod, during the time when Quirinius was the governor of Syria. And so perhaps it is that nova that people in China and Korea saw. Perhaps that's what these wise men saw, a new star dawning in the sky that lasted for a few months in the sky. Maybe that's what they saw and led them to Jerusalem and to Bethlehem. If so, just think about what that means. Let's say the star was in the closest galaxy to us, this nova, the Andromeda Galaxy, which is over, I looked it up yesterday and now I'm forgetting, but it's more than 1 million light years away, which means that that star would have actually been born 1 million years before Christ was born. But at the right moment, the light from that star being born reached Earth and led those wise men to Bethlehem. That just blows my mind, that God can work millions on a scale of millions of years to orchestrate something like that. Just amazing. God works in and through the natural world that God has created. God also works, we see in this story, in people that we don't expect God to work in and through. These magi were not part of the people of God. They were not Jews. They were Gentiles. They were not part of the faith of Abraham. They were probably followers of the Zoroastrian religion. And yet, despite being outside of what was considered the people of God, God was still at work in and through them. To me, some of the most interesting characters in the Bible are those who are outside the mainstream of the faith. I think about this guy in the Old Testament called Melchizedek. Abraham encounters this guy, and he's not a follower. He doesn't follow Abraham's religion. And yet he mediates God's presence to Abraham. Think about Balaam as well and his talking donkey. It's a whole other story. But he was not Jewish either. And yet God worked in and through him to bless the people of God. Rahab was living in Jericho, and she helped the people of Israel conquer that city. Ruth was a member of Moab, not of Israel. In the New Testament, we see Cornelius, a Roman soldier, and the Ethiopian eunuch, and even Pilate, having important roles in the story of God's grace, but none of which were part of the religious circle that was accepted in those days. It makes me wonder about religion today, about people of other faiths, about people of other backgrounds. I tend to think of God at work in and through the church, and certainly God is, but this challenges me, helps me realize God is at work in other ways as well. Indeed, our doctrine as United Methodists of prevenient grace tells me that God is at work in each and every person's life. God is at work in all of us. This story also tells me that God works through miraculous signs and wonders. We have the star in the heavens that we've already talked about. What about all these dreams that happen, right? Joseph has these dreams that tell him what to do, and the Magi have a dream that tell them to go home a different way. Sometimes God works through these amazing and miraculous signs and wonders. But this story also tells me that God works through the everyday, ordinary things of our lives. And I fall into the trap often of looking for those miraculous signs and wonders. But most of the time, those don't occur. But God is at work in the everyday, ordinary things of our lives every single day. The Magi were able to see, to notice this, to feel God at work because they were paying attention. They were paying attention to the heavens, looking for a sign in the stars. I wonder how much more we would see God at work if we paid attention a little more to the everyday, ordinary things. Today is Epiphany Sunday, the Sunday that we celebrate and remember the wise men coming to see Jesus. The word epiphany means to reveal or a revelation. And the whole idea here is that the divinity of Christ, the lordship of Christ, is revealed not just to the Jewish people, but through the Magi to the whole world, to the Gentiles, people of other nations. But I wonder this day, if we might notice God at work even more. If God's work in our lives could be revealed to us this day. Where is it that you see God at work in your life, in the world? Maybe you can answer that already. Maybe you already know and you're aware and you're paying close enough attention to see God at work. And if so, today is a day to rejoice just as the wise men did and to give thanks for that. But if you can't readily answer that question, I wonder if today, this first day of 2017, might be a day to stop, to reflect on the past year, to look forward to the coming year, and to notice how God is at work in our lives and in our world. To pay attention, just as the wise men did. To allow our eyes and our hearts to be open to see and understand what God is up to. And even more than that, to join God in God's work in the world. To see where God is doing things. And to join in that great and glorious work. May it be so. Amen.